All right, here we are back inside YKTR. Thank you for tuning in. We've got Luke here, and we have the boss who's currently more than a degenerate.
I'm not really a degenerate, am I?
Oh, sometimes you get after it. You have been lately. You've been getting after it.
Yeah, I'm not really big on the punning and all that sort of stuff as well, so
You dabble. You dabble. You put a post in the punters club here and there.
Get sprayed from all the degenerates. Yeah, more the degenerates. Shirts that are dropping tomorrow. Straight up rip off the More Than Athlete from LeBron James. So this is Scope's first merch drop for this year. So I'm excited about it. We've just hired him as well. So if you want to get around the Scope and his podcast and everything he's doing, make sure you jump on, what's today?
Thursday.
So we're dropping it today.
Drop this today. There's clothing. It's a t-shirt and a hoodie. Coming out tomorrow, 6 o'clock. So make sure you jump on and get it.
Vibey as fuck.
Yeah, looks cool, and it's like half subtle as well. Like it's not one of those like real loud prints. It's just you can sort of just casually wear it, just like you would the LeBron James. So might have to Photoshop LeBron in it.
Yeah, get it in.
100. No, you know, I won't need to talk about that. But yeah, so hiring the Scope is the first topic of this episode of Inside YKTR. Pretty exciting. You keep giving me friends in the office. I'm not out here alone anymore. So very grateful for that. And it was cool, the vlog, mad feedback, popping the streamers and whatnot for him. First thing to let everyone know, what's his role and how is it going to change? Because I think a lot of people might have thought he was on the payroll already.
Yeah, and as a decision, it was a weird decision. So like that Thursday night after we sold out and stuff, I was just sitting there lying in bed and I couldn't sleep. And one of the reasons why I was like, we let a couple customers down, but I was just like, what do we need next? And obviously Scope's been here for the year and a half, grinding away sort of part-time. And I sort of just woke up that next morning and I go, fuck it, I'm just going to hire Scope. So rang Danny straight away. I was on a walk or run or whatever the fuck I was doing. And I rang Danny. I was like, oh, can we afford it? And he goes, yeah, you can, blah, blah, blah. Then obviously told Chico and Normie. Then I told you boys. And it looked like they were super planned out, but it actually wasn't. I just sort of woke up that morning and go, fuck it, I'm just going to hire Scope. He deserves it. He's been working hard and I want him here a bit more. But what's his role going to be? Content. And right now, in our infancy stages, everyone needs to learn how to edit. So I can edit, you can edit, Jackson can edit. His first actual task is going to be learning how to edit. But then off the back of that, he's going to be a blogger and he's going to be obviously doing what he's doing. But I need more shows. I want more shows. I'm like a bit of a content whore that way. But I want cool shows as well. So I think with Scope not having to worry about extra work and he can come in here and hyper-focus in on being the Scope and trying to provide value and trying to provide better content, I think he's just going to be a lot better and it's just going to be a lot better for us as a brand.
Yeah, and I think when you say like learn how to edit, it's more along the lines of like be back yourself to like make a bit of come in, sit in front of a camera and then do like a rough cut chop of it and then we can polish it.
Yeah.
So that's like same thing what we do with Simi or when Chico does a vlog. They'll do the big rough cut and then Ice and I will jump in and polish it up and it just makes it a real quick workflow for us to be able to get more content out there. But us just doing like a quick 15, 20 minute cut, which is what we're good at because we've done that for ages.
Yeah, and I've been like editing for like 4 years now. So I can watch it. Like I don't want to just do the grindy stuff of like going through all the content and chopping it up. And that's the thing he's going to start to realize like pretty soon is, but then he'll get better with it. But like we don't need it to be fucking a Spielberg production. We just need it to be like something somewhat decent and we can add the polish to it as well. So that, but then also just more another set of eyes, another set of hands. We're going to be talking about sort of food content a little bit later, but just more people on the ground. So I'm excited for the Scope and he deserves it.
Does paying him change anything?
Yeah, fucking earth. Obviously, my expectations, like when you got a pay rise last year and we were having a beer over at Newmarket, I was like, you're on this now. So my expectations of you are a lot higher. Same with Jackson. He's been here for a month now. What would have slid in that first week? Probably not going to slide anymore. And same with Scope as well. But Scope's good, man. He works hard. He's got his like head down. But he's never worked in an environment like this is a weird environment, but he's never worked in an office environment anyway. He's flat out trying to use a printer and emails, you know what I mean? So he's come from football to traffic patrol into a office. So we'll build a system for him straight away. So he'll sit down and he have a list in front of him and I'm like, you can't go home until you do this. And once you start paying someone, your expectations of them get a little bit higher. So I've had that conversation with him and yeah. It's just like, yeah, you're on the payroll now and this is the expectations.
And he welcomes that. It's not like he's like, oh.
Yeah, he's not. Like, he's not running away from responsibility. Yeah. But there are just like, his role might be, yo, you're going to have to write 8 blogs this week. Two of them are going to be based around this. Like, you know what I mean? He's going to, everyone has to be self-sufficient here. If you're not self-sufficient, you just get in the fucking way.
And to an extent, you're paying him for his time too, because like, he's been putting in those hard yards. He's been like taking days off for us to go to the Tim Zoo fights or do all the stuff that Scope's been doing for 18 months. It's sort of like back-ended in that sense as well. It's like the reward of having a crack and putting yourself out there. And he's actually very good at what he does now. You go listen to one of his podcasts, Willie Mason, Trent Hockenson, all those early ones versus...
Very like,
I felt, I've always said it, I felt like as soon as he had like Mark Hunt in sitting in front of him, that's when it sort of like, for me, I felt from me producing it all, he just had this moment where he's like, holy shit, this is Mark Hunt. This is a guy that's been in the UFC. This is like a huge deal in ANZ sporting culture. And he's in here and he's looking at that, at the Scope podcast and going, oh, I know your dad. And they just had this moment off camera, which we didn't capture, but Mark Hunt's like, can I put you on my Instagram? Yeah. And I think like the whole process of that just opens his mind up saying, fuck, we're really onto something here. And that's when, not long after that, the fight was in what, December, I think? Mm. We went straight into the new year. He's come in, he's like, I want to be on the payroll, blah, 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 by end of the year. And it's pretty cool that we've been able to do that early.
Yeah, and like it's a cool feeling. Like obviously, like... You guys would never really have hired someone or been in that position. Oh, like yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Like very different, but just have you guys a part of it as well because you guys know the feeling of being hired here. When it's like fuck, I'm not doing that job. That not saying that you hated your job before, but I feel like this job's a little bit cooler.
Probably.
Just. Some days.
And then, so yeah, I sort of just started touching on his strengths, how he's gotten better as a podcaster. So where do you see Scope's strengths?
I think Scope's probably operating, and this is like, I say this as a compliment because I think he's got so much upside. And Denenkamp said the exact same thing. I reckon he's only operating at about 70, 75% of how good he could be. And that's because he's doing it part-time and he's got other things to worry about. But I think once he's in the environment and he gets to sit down and have conversations with us at coffees and like, you know what I mean? Like being around these different types of people and this type of energy, it's a little bit different once you're in there all the time because you just get more ideas. And he's a, I think he's a very good, he watches a lot of content as well, much like yourself and Jackson. That's why I kind of like you guys in and around me because I don't watch too much content. But you guys are always got, like he'll watch all the 257 podcasts and he watches all the ESPN stuff. So I think he's got a great eye for it, and then obviously off the reps. But like I said, I think he's only operating like 75%. I think he's a really good writer creatively. He writes
his captions and whatnot. His captions are good. Instagram,
yeah. And like he'll rest his laurels on a caption for a little bit too long in a story. Like he'd be like, oh, I've got this idea, and we need that. We need that creativity, but then we need it fucking followed up like punches and bunches as well. And he's gonna have creative blocks like we all have. But it's not like, hey, Scope, I need you to do one post a week for the Punters Club. It might be fuck, I need you to do two blogs a day.
Yeah,
and that's when it gets a little bit different.
Yeah, it could free him up more. Like I've always said that he like it could be mad to like schedule him like him just going live in the Punters Club engaging with that audience instead of that once a week slot. Now he's probably got time to engage with them much more, and that can only grow that part of his brand and what falls under our umbrella as well. So
I think a big part of him why he stayed on for so long was sort of the recognition he got off the back of it as well. Like he's a lot more famous now than he ever was playing football, and same as me, you know what I mean? And like when you're walking around, you got people coming up to you saying like fuck, thank you, and love all your content, like that sort of stuff helps because it not only what you're doing stuff that you're passionate about, but then you're also getting like that pat on the back as well. So like I got that really early on with YKTR, and that sometimes that's the things that kind of got me through as well. So those types of things are important. Like he was going for a run, and like we were in Byron Bay, bro. We were with the Queensland fucking Origin side, and we're standing around this tree out the front of Beachy, and like fuck, they just won Origin like the night before, and we're all sitting around fucking smacking CC drives. I was next to Dane Gagai, Munster. People walking past go, Scope. And then they come up, see Scope first, and like, oh shit, it's the Queensland side. So like that stuff really, really helps when, especially when you're not necessarily getting paid as much as you should. But it's insane. He was getting kickbacks off. Took him a while to get his podcast sponsored, and Simi's probably another one who's got really good numbers, but I don't think that marketing budget or ad space budget is there right now for that type of content, but it's going to be coming. And when it does come, it's going to be coming very quickly because we're going to be the guys that are in the space right now and probably the most relevant.
100%. Moving on, if you could hire your next person at YKTR, What does that look like?
I know a lot of people are going to say like Simi, and but I think the next person we need is like a full-time vlogger. Like when I watch Nalk shows and when I watch like Logan Paul, they've always got like the people in the background. And I know we can all vlog to a certain extent, but then we're also very busy. And when I talked about having that organization chart on with Jade on our podcast, and then when I wrote down your guys' actual roles, fuck, there's a lot of work there. You know, and at the core essence of everything we do was content, but I do think there's enough happening in and around. Like, say if someone was recording that fucking meeting we just had just before then, and the meeting when we had coffee, there's like I think we take our days for granted, but I don't think a lot of people would love access into that, because we get people going, oh, I'd love to spend a day with you, I'd love to spend a week with you, or offer my time to just hang around you guys just for a day. So there's so much stuff that goes on, and I think the balance of sports media, of me being me, of the clothing side, of the creative side, of you guys as well. There's so much stories within the stories there that I'd love to get that sort of stuff documented. So I think that'll be the next guy I'll hire. After that, maybe designer, full-time designer. Like design's kind of like an afterthought here. And like we do spend time on it, but imagine if you've got someone that enjoys product and enjoys fabric and pays attention to that minor detail, I think that'll be the next guy as well. So, yeah, it's weird. So you go from, like, working in the business, so you guys work in the business and, like, you guys get your work and you sit at your desk and you're there the whole time, then you start to work on top of the business and, like, you start to delegate and, like, I think your decisions become a little bit more important and stuff like that. And it's weird because you like when you're in the business, you're working super hard and you're fucked and you're tired, but then when you're working on top of the business, you're just as tired mentally, because you just like your whole day is just like decisions. Like, have I got the right person? Like, where do we go now? Like, how do I pay this? What are we mapping for summer? Fuck, what's our budget for winter 22? So there's all these different things that go on. So it's When you get on the business, you just want the right people underneath you that are contributing towards what the company's about. So it frees up your mind to make those better decisions. So long-winded answer, just better people, but short, like, vlogger and potentially designer. There's probably some 18-year-old kid that's fucked with YKTR for the last 5 years just to spend every day on fucking Illustrator, you know what I mean? That's got gun ideas. And when I talk to my mentors and stuff like that, they always say, the older you get, the younger you hire below you, and the more, you always hire people that are smarter than you. You're smarter than me in some ways in terms of, like, content and all that sort of stuff, him with written. So I want smart people in and around me, and the next one that's going to be a designer and the next one that's going to be a vlogger, they need to be in that sort of same category as well.
100%. Moving on off the back of what's been going on in the office, we've obviously been doing a lot more podcasts lately, and we've had a bit of, especially your podcast, a lot of, since linking up with the Batuta network, we've been getting a bit of traction there across a couple of them. Do you want to talk about sort of how that's been going and how it's the situation there?
Yeah, that's cool. So, like, obviously we're going to start, we're not in a position, so someone like Denon, the massive company that sells alcohol, so he doesn't really need to monetize his podcast stuff straight away, but we're probably in a position where, like, I've got, like, there's us two, and then obviously like Scope's there and Geordie's there. So you want money coming into the system, and Barstool's, a third of their revenue actually comes from podcast revenue as well. So they've got ad revenue, they've got merch, and they do events as well. And that's the model that we're sort of gravitating towards as well. So what I found with podcast ads is, like, people are scared to spend money on podcast ads because it's relatively new, where you talk to people that will spend 25K on signage on the side of a football field. Like, that for me, that's a fucking waste of money, because I don't ever go to the football and go, like, oh, look at that fucking sponsor down there, let me go buy a YKTR t-shirt. So, but in saying that, there's a lot of money that's in TV, there's a lot of money that's in radio, and all that money's going to be coming over soon. So we've made the right moves. We've changed. What distribution side are we on?
A Megaphone.
We're on Megaphone, and Spotify brought out Megaphone. So
yeah, it's owned by Spotify. So it's probably, like, we're on Libsyn before, and, like, ease of use, 10x.
And we're moving towards the right direction, because Spotify is making the big play for podcasting, and then we're going to start promoting all our stuff through Spotify first. And then say Spotify makes a really cool ad platform, you know what I mean? And we stop producing on YouTube and we move to there, and it's got a lot more organic growth.
Like, video platform, you
video
mean.
Platform, sorry. And it's got a lot more organic growth, and people's usage times goes bigger on there. And then we're the main guys who's doing all the podcasts. Spotify could really ramp us up and push us to the top of the algorithm and still do stuff like that. But in terms of ad revenue, it's just been good to have a sales team there. I get like my podcast gets sponsored the most. It's probably one that's been around the longest. Two, it's probably like not as subjective as a Jordan's Room. And like I'll get a couple offers a week for, so that's cool. It's, you just go yes, no, yes, no. So it's coming, and it's just going to add a different revenue stream to what we're doing here. And yep. With more revenue, I can do more shit.
Yeah, exactly. I think I was thinking about it more. Like, we don't often talk about the YKTR product enough on the podcast. So I think that's something as a team we can all improve on as well.
Yeah.
Because obviously that is the core. Like you said, Barstool's got their core. They're always plugging their merch on their podcast pretty religiously.
I think we need to hyper focus in on YKTR sports merch as well. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, we've got this, and then after this, it's like, oh fuck, what are we doing next? It's
kind of Maiden Jordan Simi.
Oh yeah, I'm at Jordan's Room, but like, we should be mapped out 3, 4, 5 months, and we know exactly what's dropping and when. We can get samples. We can start marketing around it, because we've seen the benefit off the back of that through YKTR, the clothing side. Like, that should just be out. Like, and it won't be hard to do, because it's only ever going to be t-shirt, hoodie, hat.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It doesn't really go past that for this type of merch, in my opinion. So
yeah, no, I definitely agree. Moving on to a new topic, you touched on it a little bit earlier. We were looking at diving into the event side of the business. I can't wait for that. That's sort of something that I've always seen YKTR as, sort of that cultural hub where we've got permission to do that sort of stuff. You got a pretty cool message yesterday about some boat with an R&B party.
Yeah, so obviously we love R&B. Like, house is cool, like, but I think we gravitated towards R&B and all our music. Like, Travis Scott's like a big part of YKTR. Yeah,
hip-hop, R&B, that sort of vibe.
It sort of transfers over pretty well. So we've always wanted to throw events. We kind of wanted to check out to sort of run that sort of side of it as well. One, we've sort of built our background off the back of partying. Like, we don't hide the fact that we do love to party. When YKTR started, those two boys were in trouble for partying, you know what I mean? We never really hide the fact that we love a beer, but now it's like, how do we turn this into not so much a business model that we monetize off of, but which I'm not against as well, but I think more so for a branding exercise where I think if we start throwing parties once a month and we're the guys that people want to come to a party with, I think this helps our brand more and more, gives us another look.
And it the content just builds itself off the back of it. Like, you get those mad party photos of like the good energy and everything. It's a no-brainer for us. And like, I know everyone watching here is going, holy shit, yes, that's mad. I can't wait for a YKTR party.
Yeah, and like we'll go out and like people come up, say hello, cool, like that. But imagine if we had a hosted event where everyone jumps onto the boat together and we play R&B and we get like volley K, you know what I mean? Do the stuff that people always want to do with us and have an opportunity to come have a beer with us, say hello. And I think it'd be fucking cool. So early stages, I've got a chat next week. But man, honestly, I can see it happening this year.
And the other... the other one was the traveling down to Melbourne.
Yeah. Oh, so me and Scope have kind of been pre-booked for our first ever live podcast event, which is when we talk to those Batuta boys behind. It's a big space that's moving towards. So say if we had and it's going to be just before Origin as well. So it hasn't really been announced yet. We've just kind of come to the mutual agreement financially of what it sort of looks like. But that's going to be happening. And that's... like, honestly, like, if Ten and Ken does a live event down at fucking, where's our biggest demographic? Sydney, Western Sydney, or down in Cronulla. And we've got a show and it's all planned out. And there's a clip of drinks that's coming back and people want to buy. It'd be fucking sick. If you do a Ten and Ken before an Origin at a Newmarket hotel, and we talk about, that's where the podcast space is heading. Me and Scope might be doing a couple just random ones down there as well. So it's like you maximize your trip while you're down there. So we're down there, we're going to be doing this podcast at this time, going to watch Origin, but we might jump on a couple other ones as well. So it's weird. It's that type of stuff sort of starting to take shape as well, which is exciting.
And like, imagine like a live footy companion. Like, it's sort of like, loosely, it's something that like radio has sort of done. Like, you'll see radio set up years ago in these events, but there's so much more behind that, whereas we're so versatile and it's so easy for us to do that. It's almost like, why aren't we doing that?
And it's time, it's money, it's energy, it's planning. And like you guys know, but we're under the pump a lot of the time. Like, we start early, finish early, and I'm big on lifestyle and stuff like that, but like, we're working in here at the same time. So I think if Tasha was here, she'd be good. But it might be a role for Chico, because he loves that sort of stuff as well. Exactly. Or that might be Scope's fucking side role, or organise this event. Like, you know what I mean? So that's where more staff come in and really helps us. But it's a seamless transition. Like, we're going to transition to sports apparel pretty soon. We're going to be transitioning into events pretty soon. It's like, none of this is forced. It just feels like a natural progression of what we're going to do next. I think the live events is going to be the big one. You know, there's a chick called We're the Wild Ones?
Yeah.
People always say, like, we're like the poor man's version of them. Like, couple girls that went out and documented their whole journey, and they're a lot bigger than us, but they sell out of like 3,000 seated events for like tickets, you know what I mean? There's big money in events. You look at what are they called? What are those like online seminars? Oh, what are the seminars that I used to do? Like
Kerwin Ray's, etc.
Like Kerwin Ray. I go to Nail and Scale. I spend like $5,000 on a 2-day event. You know what I mean? People just want to feel a part of the environment. And it's like the difference between watching sport light on TV and sport in there, or listening to Drake on a CD, or listening to Drake at a concert.
Well, that's what two of my favorite creators, sort of funny, they're sort of up against each other at the moment for different reasons. Like H3, he used to always take his podcast on the road. He'd do like a live podcast with like Post Malone at a concert hall, and it's literally just his normal podcast with an audience in front of him. David Dobrik, he took the Views podcast on the road and he went all around America. It was part of his vlog content and it was obviously his podcast content. And this was like 2-3 years ago. So.
And that's the other side of it as well. It's like the full-time videographer, it's because we've got so much shit that's going to be happening pretty soon. I do want it all documented. Because, like, Normie was watching our old vlogs, like, from 2-3 years ago, and he goes, fuck, these are so good. Like, it's just so good to look back on. And I remember when he first started documenting, we didn't think, well, this sort of stuff was happening. But I remember saying at the time, I was like, fuck, it'd be cool to look back. And like, if we do make it, it'd be, like, cool. And if we don't make it, it'd be all on camera saying, oh, don't do this.
Yeah. Well, that was funny. You go back to the first vlog where you're sitting in the car and you're like, hey, this is our small business and we're just going to film it and just document the journey and see where it takes us.
I feel like I sound like that, eh?
Hey,
you've gone backwards through puberty. Got a high voice, got a bit of helium.
Hey, just listen to it. You got a different, it's the old vlog voice versus the new vlog voice. That's what I was trying to portray. But yeah.
This new one's just got stress in it.
Moving on. Food content, we want to nail that space. We love watching that shit on YouTube. You're a big fan of Kai Bentley and all those boys.
Nah, do you know what the OG was by Action Bronson? Delicious. Have you watched that?
Yeah.
Bro, that used to be my favorite show and we used to watch it like, we used to just binge watch it. Fuck, and that was my favorite show. And then obviously like Chico loves to cook and stuff. So Chico was always going to sort of be our food content guy. But he just wants to show himself like cooking. Oh, bro, but I eat out all the time as well. So I do love the home cooking one. So you look at Levi Bentley and there, and his dad, obviously helps his dad's like a fucking master chef as well. But his dad will come in and cook. And those, they're like my favorite videos. And then when Kai used to go to Burgers Never Say Die in LA and
that's how you Saps, found that
in Saps the Coffee House.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like these joints that I used to go to in LA and I used to vlog about, I used to watch them on thing. Yeah, Bourdain, I used to love watching that type of content as well. So we're going to make content like that, but it's going to be a cross between vlog and Dave Portnoy fucking
review sort of.
Review. So it won't be super high technical, like mad shot over 3-4 days and we go to New Zealand, or we potentially could, but. To start off with, it's just going to be like, I think Scope's going to focus on baking and egg rolls, like trying to find the best one. I'm just going to do a few sandwich joints and a few local joints there. But also, we talked about a strategy of like, we're just going to film in one day as well. And we heard that from Dave Portnoy where he does pizza reviews, but he'll do 8 in a day. And like, you don't have to eat all the whole food. Fuck, you'd be fucking feeling sick afterwards, eh?
Maybe that could be a challenge. How many restaurants we could eat the whole main meal?
Yeah, and so like we're going to do food content. I don't think like anyone's nailing that type of content here in Australia. I think we've got the personality types to do it. I think we're a group that actually enjoys food and eating out. And obviously off the back end, Chico, he's always been into this type of stuff. So he's showing us places as well. I just think it's like another easy form of content that we could do 2 hours in the morning and that give us 3 or 4 shows.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much it for this episode of Inside YKTR. Anything to add?
No, it feels good being planned.
Always been planned, baby.
No, we haven't.
Diving into our other show next. So,
yeah.
See you soon.